Hebrews chapter number 10 this morning. We're going to start with verse number 19 and read through verse number 22. Hebrews chapter number 10, starting with verse number 19. Let's all stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God out of Hebrews chapter 9 or chapter 10, starting with verse number 19. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled, led from evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. I want to speak to you on the subject that's being spoken about here, a heart of prayer. A heart of prayer. And we'll learn about that this morning. Father, again, we do thank You for this morning. We thank You for the simple truth we're about to learn. And Holy Spirit, I ask that You would take control of everything that's said and everything that's done here this morning. When, especially when it comes now to the preaching. And You'd help us to hear with ears of the Spirit. And help me to speak what You would say if You were in my boots this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In our Bible reading this morning, notice the writer of Hebrews was addressing the Jews. He wasn't really addressing us yet. He was addressing Jews who still thought that the only way that you could approach God was to approach God through the high priest and the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God. These Jewish Christians did not quite fully understand yet, and I can understand why, that they could just approach God in prayer. Now, we many decades and many years later understand that we can go to God anytime, anywhere, any place. But they didn't understand that. They thought they still had to go to the high priest. They still thought that they had to go into the temple. They still thought that there was a veil here that separated God from man, and the only one that could go into that place would be the priest or the high priest. They still thought they needed a representative, but ladies and gentlemen, the truth is that when Jesus died for my sins, and He died for your sins, and we took Him as our Savior, He ripped down the veil between God and man, and we have full and complete access to Him at all times, anywhere. This concept, however, to the Jews at that time, was revolutionary. It was a concept they had never heard before. Like I said, only the high priest before Jesus' death was allowed to come before the Ark of the Covenant and ask for forgiveness for the sins of the people. But once Jesus died, He bridged that gap Himself. That's why it says in our reading, to enter into the, verse number 19, to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. I no longer need the blood of a bull or a heifer. I no longer need a sacrifice. Jesus was my sacrifice, and I freely have now passage. I don't need to offer a blood sacrifice through a high priest to go into that veil to approach God to take my petitions to God. I can freely walk into the Holy of Holies in heaven in a spiritual form and approach God Himself. He bridged that gap. He created a way for man to commune directly with God. So what can we learn about prayer from the Scripture here today and throughout the Bible? We can learn four things that I want to give you this morning. Number one, God says we can enter boldly into prayer with God by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't say come in sheepishly. He says boldly. I need to approach God because I'm saved, not because I'm good, not because I'm kind, not because I'm sinless, but because the blood of Jesus Christ gives me the right to boldly walk in to His, I call it office, His room, His throne room. I don't have to worry about whether it's appropriate time, not an appropriate time. I'm just going to walk right in. I'm going to look at God and say, God, I need You. Heavenly Father, I need You. Not because I'm worthy of it, but because Jesus Christ, His blood has been shed for me. Sin has a power. And the biggest power of sin is guilt. And that guilt causes me and you, once we sin, to say, well, I can't even go to God in prayer. Look at me. Look what I did wrong. He didn't want to talk to me. And so what it does is it causes us to separate from God. But God says, wait a minute now. Your sins are forgiven. They're gone. As far as east is from the west, your sins are gone. They're cast into the deepest sea. They are no longer in existence. I was talking to a young Christian who just received Christ as a Savior, oh, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I was talking to him this week and I said, now that you're saved, no matter what, you're God's. No matter what. I said, let's just pretend, and I'll pretend with you here this morning. Let's pretend this corner represents your birth. And that right here, in the center, where these plates are, represents the day you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then this corner over here, this table, represents the day you died. So you got born, and you sinned all the way up to right here, where you asked Jesus to save you. And when Jesus saved you, He covered all your sins from the time that you were born to the time that you got saved. He covered every sin. Is that right? Is that Bible? But He didn't just cover the sins that you committed there. He covered all the sins that you'll commit for the rest of your life. Jesus paid it all. Every sin from this point on here to this point of your death has been covered. Is that true? Is that Bible? And it is. And so I know that my sins are covered. So I no longer need to beg God for forgiveness. That forgiveness is already granted in Jesus Christ. Now I have boldness to walk in and say, hey, I messed up. That doesn't mean I don't apologize to God. That doesn't mean that I don't admit to Him I failed. What it does mean is that my guilt is gone. The guilt that I feel as a Christian when I get saved is the Holy Spirit convincing me that I did something wrong and I need to stop that. But now that I'm saved, I don't need to go and plead to God, oh, I'm not worthy, You can't listen to my prayer, oh, I'm such a wicked sinner. No, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why I have boldness. I didn't write this. Let's look at our reading again. Let's look there in Hebrews chapter 10 again. Having therefore, in verse number 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus Christ. So it's not me that says we should have boldness. It's God that says I should have boldness. Why? Because the devil's going to get you to think that you don't have any rights with God. I'm His child now. I have 4 children. My 8th grandchild will be born very shortly. My children and my grandchildren have authority with me that the neighbor kids don't have. Neighbor kid breaks my window, I'm going to be upset. I'm going to go down and see his parents. I'm going to tell his parents they got to fix my window. Is that right? My kid breaks my window and starts to cry and says, I'm sorry, I messed up. My kid broke my window. Does that mean that they're no longer my kid? No. Does it mean their home is no longer their home? No. Does it mean that I'm no longer their parent? No. Does that mean that they can't ask me for water? No. Does that mean I'm not going to feed them dinner? No. Does that mean I'm not going to provide electricity for them anymore? No. Does that mean I'm not going to provide heat in the winter for them anymore? No. That means they broke my window and I'm immediately going to forgive my child. Now, I may correct my child. And God's going to correct you and I through the power of the Holy Spirit. But heaven's still our home. And God is still our Father. And I still have the right to walk into Him and say, I need this right here. I'm thirsty. I need some water. Would you give me some water? That's boldness. I have that boldness not because of me, not because of my situation in life. I have that boldness through Jesus Christ. He is the one that paid my sin debt. In 1 John, chapter 1, in verse number 7, the Bible says this: "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Not a few sins, not a couple sins, not just my past sins, but He says, all sin. And since my sin is forgiven, and already been, the blood sacrifice has already been paid for, and the veil has been pulled down, ripped apart, and everything's wide open, I have the right to walk into God and get from God what I need, and not just what I need, but what I want. Many times in my lifetime, I've had to correct my children. How many times did you say, "How many times do I have to tell you to pick up your toys? How many times do I have to tell you to clean your room, make your bed?" We repeat things over and over, but they're still your child. They may disappoint you as an adult, but you still love them beyond words that you could comprehend. They're still your kid. There's something there that you can't get rid of. They may break your heart. They may disappoint you. You may get frustrated with them, but they're yours. You can have somebody else's child come into your life and they break your heart and they disappoint you and you'll separate from them, but you won't separate from your child. You still get mad at them and you still get flustered, but they're still yours. Both my mom and my dad have passed away. But did you just hear what I called them? I called them my mom and my dad. Because for eternity, they will be my mom and my dad. Just because I live here and they're buried somewhere else doesn't mean that I lost them. Just because they passed away doesn't mean that I've lost them. They're still my mom and my dad. My grandparents are still my grandparents. I still love them, even though they're gone. And I do miss them, even though they're gone. My son in the Philippines is still my son. My grandchildren in the Philippines are still my grandchildren. They may be thousands of miles away, and I may not be able to get to them in a split moment or a short period of time. It may take 24 hours of air flight, which I'm not looking forward to, but it's going to happen. And we may have to fly for 24 hours to get there, but can I be honest with you? I can't wait to get to the Philippines to see my grandchildren and my children. I love them. Even though my son is married to a wonderful young lady named Angie, she's like my own. I can't wait to see her. I can't wait to see my daughter-in-law. I can't wait to see my son. I can't wait to see my two grandchildren that are here and a third one that's on his way. I'm excited about that. Why? Because they're my children. I don't get that excited about the kids down the street. I'm sorry, I just don't. And don't take this offensively, but I don't get that excited about your children either. But you do, because they're yours. And God does for you because you're His. And that's how excited God is about us coming. And the reason that He gives us boldness to come to the throne of grace is because He wants us there. He wants us to come. He invites us to come. He says, "Come on over, have a seat, come here. Don't be sitting out there, come on in." That's how God feels about you and I. If we are Christians and we fellowship with God, we can fellowship with God any time we want. Isn't that comforting? Number two. I said number one, God says that we can enter in boldly into prayer with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Number two, we don't have to go to a specific place to get God's attention. He's always with us. I don't have to go to a specific place to get God's attention. He's always with me. He's always with you. I don't have to come to the church house in order to pray. I can pray at home. I can pray in the car. I can pray walking down the street. I can pray at work. The kids can pray in school. Now don't pray out loud in school. You might get in trouble, but you can still pray in school. You can pray anywhere. You can pray at any time. At any time, prayer is simply walking into the throne room of God and speaking to your heavenly Father, your Abba, your Papa, your Daddy. That's what the word Abba means, Papa or Daddy. And God's no longer my Father in heaven. Oh, great Father. Oh, that's not it. He's my Dad. When I walked into my house and I was a boy and my dad was home, I went, Daddy! I didn't go,
oh, my Father is in the dwelling in which we are located at this time. Oh, great Dad of mine.
I didn't do that. No kid does that. We run in and say, Daddy or Dad or Pa or Papa. Why? Because that's our home. And God wants us to feel that at home when we come to Him in prayer. At any time, at any moment, anywhere, He's with us. And all I have to do is talk to Him. All I have to do is say something to Him. In Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 20, He puts it this way. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether things in earth or things in heaven. So God says everything's covered. I don't have to go to heaven to see Him or talk to Him. I don't even have to see Him. All I have to do is call out His name. Many, many years ago, I was going to Bible college. And I was driving a small truck. And I had the truck filled with... It was a box truck and it was filled with steel pipes for the automotive industry. And I was taking it from one location to another location. And I'm driving down the road at 55 miles an hour down the expressway. And I come around the curve and suddenly there's nothing but brake lights in front of me. All four lanes in front of me are completely at a stop, at a standstill. I had no idea as I came around the corner. And you know, when the truck was filled with that kind of weight, there was no way I could stop it on a dime. I'm looking at the crowd in front of me of cars, and I know I'm going to crush two or three of them before I actually get this truck to stop. I look at my mirrors, and I don't know what to do. I'm in the center lane. Oh, my goodness. And finally, I yell, help me, Heavenly Father. Help me, Daddy. I need your help. And I threw my foot on the brake, and I took the steering wheel and turned it to the left and went down. Finally stopped on the side of the road. I didn't hit anybody. But I was four cars in before I finally got it to stop. And I believe if I hadn't called out for help, God wouldn't have put in my mind exactly what I needed to do to stop that rig. I believe that. I believe that's how quickly we can go to Him in prayer. When I was young and I needed help and my daddy was around, I'd yell for my dad. Help, Dad! Help, Mama! Wouldn't you? God says that when you're in a time of need, you can yell at any time. I'm right there for you. I'm there to be with you. We can approach God on the merit of Jesus Christ and His perfect sacrifice, and I don't have to worry about anything. I can just go right into His presence. A few years ago, I read a story, and it goes like this, and I wanted to tell it to you. A family took their young son visiting to their grandmother one summer day. That night, while they're having family prayer, the little boy stood up to pray. Dear Lord, he said, bless Mommy and Daddy and Grandma and all my friends. And Lord, and then he began to shout, I really would like a new bike. God isn't deaf, his parents told him. He said, I know. But Grandma's in the next room. We don't have to ask God anything and hoping that other people will grant it. We just need to ask God something so that He'll take care of it. So many times in public prayers and in public places, we tell people about things that we need in our life instead of running to God in hopes that somehow, some way, some shape or form, someone will come to our rescue. But God said, that's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in you coming to me and letting me help you and meet your need. We don't have to get attention of other people to get God's attention. He's always ready for us to come directly to Him. Number three. Hey, we're there. We're getting there. We got two more points to go. Number three. We need to realize that God's always available to talk to us. We need to realize that God is always available to talk to us. I said, number one, God says we can enter boldly into prayer with to Him by the blood of Jesus Christ. Number two, we don't have to go to a specific place to get God's attention. He's always with us. Number three, we need to realize that God is always able to talk to us. He's always able to talk to us. He's never, ever too busy. Our friends may fail us. Our family may hurt us. Our co-workers may disappoint us. But God's always ready to help us when we have a time of need. We can approach His throne boldly because of Jesus Christ's shed blood. To me, that's an amazing fact. As I get older, I don't like politics. Everybody seems to be going down the same road at different speeds, but they're all going to the same place. And America's in trouble. But when I was younger, when I was a young man, my uncle, Uncle Tony, was the mayor of the city of Cleveland, Ohio. And Uncle Tony was tapped by President Kennedy to be the Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare on President Kennedy's staff. So my uncle accepted the position as secretary, went to Washington, and served President Kennedy. And then after President Kennedy's assassination, President Johnson extended his invitation, and he also worked on the cabinet of President Johnson. He told a story when I was young of him being new to the White House. And there was a critical situation going on in the White House and in the country. And he had collected all of his people, all of his staff, all the secretaries into his Oval Office, and they're discussing what, as a nation, we should do. And it's a time of crisis for our country. And my uncle said he was sitting on one of the couches in the Oval Office, and suddenly the door burst open. And here came little John John. And he ran across the room, and President Kennedy was sitting in a rocker in the Oval Office, and he jumped up and landed on his dad's lap. His dad gave him a big hug and sat him down on his knee. And someone said something like this to the president: "This isn't the time for John John to be in here." And this is the thing I probably love about President Kennedy. I don't know anything else about him politically, don't care to know anything, because everybody's got their own opinion. But here's what I love. He said, "It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. I'm his daddy. And he and my children and my wife will always have free access to me no matter what's going on in the world." That's amazing. By the way, that's right. And that's how my God is. My God says, I have free access to Him no matter what's going on anywhere in the world or what anybody else is doing or whoever else is talking to Him. I can walk to Him at any time, at any place, in any location, call out to Him, and He greets me and He pulls me in and He sets me up in His lap and He looks at me and He tells me, "I love you." And He says, "What can I do for you?" We always have access. He's always available to talk to me no matter what's going on. I love that about my God. There have been many times in my life I've had to tell my kids, "I'm on the phone, just wait till I'm off the phone. I got this going on here, wait over here. I got to take care of this first. Let me finish this over here." But it's never that way with God. He's always available for you and me. And number four, what else can we learn? Even more so, number four, God Himself not only invites you to talk with Him anytime, He wants you to talk with Him anytime. He wants us to talk to Him. He loves us. And he says, come on in. Hey, I know what the world's like out there. He did spend 33 years here. He does know what it's like here. He does know what it's like to face the devil face to face, just like we have to face him every day. He knows the ups and the downs of life. He knows of the hurts, the disappointments, the frustrations, the irritations. He knows about all that. He knows about sickness and health. He knows about every need that we could ever have. And he says, come on, come on in. Come on, spend time with me. He says that so much, he says these words. Pray without ceasing. He wants you to talk to him. I don't know if there's anything better in the whole world. Can you imagine what it would be like if the president called you up and said, hey, you can come over anytime you want. I want to hear everything you got to say. And if you got something you need, I'll take care of it for you. Wouldn't it be an amazing situation to be in? And yet God, the creator of heaven and earth, says to you and me, a sinner, who can't make him any better, who can't make him any stronger, who can't improve on God one least little bit, tells you and I, come on in. I want to spend time with you all the time. It's funny. Being a grandparent is so different than being a parent to me. I don't know if it's because they go home or what, but it's so different. Maybe it's because I had children, then I went through a time where my house was empty, and now when my grandkids come, I'm thrilled to pieces that they show up. Grandkids never have to come. Parents can keep them away, but when they show up, it's so exciting. When my grandchildren are around, I don't care what's going on. My grandchildren are here. I'm going to spend time with them. I'm going to play with them. I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to hold them. I'm going to hug them. I'm going to tell them that I love them. My one grandson, every time I says I love him, I'll say, I love you. And he'll go, poopy head. You know what that poopy head is? That's I love you from a little boy. I love it. He can call me poopy head till the day I die. He could be 40 years old and say, hey, poopy head, and I'll be excited. Why? Because that's my grandson. That's my family. That's my blood. And I love him. And God says, you're my family. You're my blood. I love you. Come on over and spend time with me. And whatever you need, no matter what's happened in your life, I'll take care of you. You're mine. It's amazing how my children could do wrong, but my grandchildren can do no wrong. Isn't that funny? And God sees you and me. And he says, I've taken care of all your sin. Just spend time with me. Father, I thank you for what we've learned today. I thank you for your great kindness. Thank you for the fact that I can come to you at any time, anywhere, any place, and you're never too busy to hear my request.